Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by Pete. I am not joined by Harrison. I traded those guys for a future 39, the number 39 pick. It's going to be an additional asset for trade negotiations with San Antonio. And I am instead talking to Kesem Ramirez. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. You know, it's another very quiet offseason for the Spurs, as per usual.
I'm bringing him on to, he covers the Spurs for News for San Antonio, and then he has Spurs Roundtable. I'm bringing him on to try to figure out what's going on with all the various angles in this Kawhi Leonard trade. We're going to start by talking about how we got here, what might be going on in San Antonio specifically, and then we'll get into some of the Lakers stuff with trade talks and whether the Spurs would actually send him to L.A. And make his wishes come to life there, and then we'll see where the conversation goes from there. As always, you guys know where to find the show. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers, and you can follow Kesem at Kesem, Q-U-I-X-E-M. I'm just out of curiosity. If you go on somebody's show, how long does it take? Because I come from a Mexican background, so like when I saw, I kind of figured, okay, I can kind of figure out how to pronounce your name. But like when you go on somebody else's show, do you just roll with, you know what, that sounds fine?
Yeah, 100%. You could say my name any single way. I'm not one of those people that just like, okay, you have to say my name right because my name is just way out there. And I just feel it's unfair to just assume that you can say it. So honestly, like as long as you're within the ballpark, I'm totally cool. It's like, okay, quicksand, cool. we'll keep going on. Not that big a deal.
If you were a ball hog, you would actually be fitting, right? Like if you played basketball and you were a ball hog, quicksand would be an all right nickname.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, enough terrible jokes. Let's get into, how did we get here? Like how I'm legitimately curious because it's the Spurs, because of Kawhi Leonard. Like it at one point thought this was like a match made in heaven. Somebody who doesn't talk with an organization that is quiet and boring by preference, nationally speaking. So like how did we get here?
We have to rewind about maybe like 13 months. I mean, the Spurs were second seed in the Western Conference, seemed to have maybe a little shot at being the Warriors, you know, the good old days, had a big 20-point lead in game one. Zaza's injury kind of undercuts Kawhi. But the thing that we kind of miss is that a lot of Spurs fans like to blame Zaza for what happened, but the actual injury that we've been dealing with the whole year happened like weeks before the Zaza thing, so they were unrelated. And it was that quad injury that's been nagging Kawhi. And I think the initial distrust between the Spurs and the organization and Kawhi started with, well, you missed this injury, this quad injury, way before the Zaza ankle injury. That's the thing of the past. It's not what people, Spurs fans, like to blame Zaza for all this happened. But Zaza actually had nothing to do with the injury. And as Kawhi and as an NBA player, I mean, your body is your livelihood. So if your body is compromised and if you don't trust the medical staff to find these injuries before they persist, then you kind of start distrust, you start kind of just lose trust in what they say. And then you had the whole fiasco with like, okay, not fiasco, but going with his own officials, doing his own workouts in New York, and then just kind of exploded from there. And I guess you just look at it, and it was just that one little thing that just persisted and persisted and persisted and grew kind of like a cancer would. And now 13 months later, you have possibly Kawhi wanting out and the Spurs like not knowing what to do, whether we can trade him or, and all this nonsense that we're dealing with now.
It's kind of funny because I think if there was no injury, obvious, like breaking, if there was no injury, we wouldn't be having this discussion, not just from the standpoint of him, from a physical standpoint and any potential distrust that comes from the way that his injury was handled, but also from the standpoint of, as an NBA player, that's your mortality that he's seeing kind of right before it flashed before his eyes there, right? And you only have a limited amount of time to make the most money that you can possibly make in your time in the NBA. And I think he might be looking at that entire situation because of the injury and saying, wait, am I leaving money on the table either because of the market I play in or because of the brand that I've built? I think there's a lack of self-awareness at work here too. And, you know, I think everybody's just kind of trying to figure out their way to handle this entire situation, Kawhi included.
Yeah, and we haven't even touched his Uncle Denny, that apparently firsthand, they're just, I mean, Yahoo had that, I mean, ESPN had that story that kind of detailed exactly the inner workings of his kind of close confidants and their agency and all the confusing things that go into that. And maybe that was in his ear, maybe wanting to go away kind of puts him in a better spot like that. And then you throw on the fact that, okay, if you can't trust your medical staff, or at least you feel like you can't, then how are you going to be confident signing long-term with this team? And then you have Tony Parker and Monty Ginobili kind of giving slight little digs at Kawhi, maybe making him angry. And you have just a lot of things converging at once and from several different angles, creating what we have right now is like the most dominant NBA storyline right now before LeBron decides to see where he goes.
That relationship between Tony Parker and Manu and Kawhi has always been really interesting to me. Let's take a quick second here, and when we come back, I just kind of want to dig into that a little bit before we get into the trade stuff. So Manu and Tony come from a previous superstar in Tim Duncan, and they themselves, right, were superstars in San Antonio. Both of those guys are heading to the Hall of Fame. Kawhi Leonard kind of comes from nowhere and becomes this legitimate countrywide superstar in terms of NBA talent. Was there did that ever kind of rub them the wrong way? Because I thought their handling of all this, Tony Parker especially, was especially significant in not just pushing him out the door, but kind of telling of how that all kind of came to be.
Yeah, when he said his injury was 100 times worse and then he came back like 2 months later, it was not the right thing to say if you want to keep your best player. And maybe he just, you know what, like I've been a Spur forever. I can say what I want. I'm confident they're going to re-sign me, even though I hope they don't. I can say what I want, and Kawhi has clearly been away from the team. I didn't really like the way he said that, and it's obviously very pointed and it had a reason. Manu did it more in a subtle way. He did say some significant stuff that I think people kind of glossed over. But at the time, he was like, you know, I've been injured before. It sucks. But you have to be with your team. And this was during media around like March when Kawhi was clearly not with the team. And there was just some frustration with them. I guess as old school guys, it's like, okay, I know you're injured, but you have to be there with us. And I vouch for that. I felt for that. And then now, four months later, we're looking at Kawhi potentially being mad at that and not letting that go.
Yeah,
so that's where we're at. Just a lot of like, okay, you could have just settled this down as teammates, but maybe that, you know, sit down meeting that they had, I think it was in April. Gosh, it's been crazy. maybe that didn't really simmer all the tensions down there. And again, Tony Parker was a big vocal leader in that meeting. And I'd imagine that there was kind of a dichotomy between the older guys and the younger guys like Danny, Kawhi, DeJounte. I feel like they kind of split down the season.
Yeah, it's the whole dynamic is very interesting to me. There's the old versus new school aspect of it. There's the group that won a title with the new guy who helped win a title, right? And it's the entire chemistry surrounding this entire thing has always been really interesting to me. And like one thing that I keep on thinking about is like the Spurs, and this isn't to disparage the Spurs. This is going to sound like I am, but I really don't mean it that way. The Spurs had the benefit of having a superstar who was nothing like typical NBA superstars in Tim Duncan. And I don't know if they've formed habits based on that experience, and maybe they thought that that's how NBA superstars just kind of behave. And then you get, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge was upset last year. Now it's Kawhi Leonard who's upset this year. And they're kind of – it's this kind of rude awakening to – oh, yeah, right. Tim Duncan wasn't how things usually go in this league. Do you think there's anything to that?
There's a lot to it. I mean, we lived in this Spurs bubble for two decades that we still live in now, where we just expect every good player to ever play with us just to be quiet, do their job, re-sign for way less money, and keep doing the thing. But I've told Spurs fans, especially when Kawhi was like, when he said, are you going to sign with the Spurs? I think asked him maybe March. And he said, yeah, for sure. And everyone was like freaking out and being like, okay, Kawhi has definitely come back. I was like, let's pump the brakes. He has to feel like he has to say that. But we don't really know Kawhi as much as you think you do. I mean, yeah, he's quiet. But what if he does have aspirations outside of San Antonio? What if he does want to get a bigger contract or get a bigger endorsement deal? We don't know this. And we can't just assume every good player that has played with us will be exactly like Tim Duncan. And that's the issue. We just expect all our good players to be like Tim Duncan, and if they're not, we're like, okay, well, he's disloyal, and he hates us, and we turn on them, and they burn the jerseys. And it's a thing that Spurs fans uniquely have this issue where if you are a fan of any other team, you realize there's peaks and valleys. You realize the star players have wants, but we just have never experienced that pretty much ever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here as a Laker fan watching Kobe, like he at one point demanded to play for Pluto. Like, I've been in your shoes before. And while all that was going on, I just kind of watched Tim Duncan sign really under the radar. He took less money to be able to keep his teams together. Kobe very famously did not do that. And now we're kind of seeing Kawhi I think he's somewhere in between Duncan and Kobe in that respect, but you're seeing somebody operate more typically as comes from an NBA superstar, and we'll see where it all goes. Where it might go, though, where a lot of people seem to think it's going to go, either via trade this year or via free agency next year, Kawhi apparently wants to play in Los Angeles. Either he or the people around him or both think that the market of Los Angeles would help his brand. I guess my first question here, because I don't think it really there's any point in talking specific pieces beyond this if they aren't going to do it, but would the Spurs ever send him to the Lakers? Because we saw it with Paul George that Indiana was going to send him anywhere but the Lakers because of I think they felt wronged because of the alleged tampering that went on there. They felt wronged by the superstar himself and Paul George at that time. Do we see the same things kind of going on with San Antonio, or do they kind of look past all this and say, we're going to get as much value for this guy as we possibly can, no matter wherever that might be?
I've seen reports circulating that the Spurs will not entertain trades with the Lakers. I'm of the mindset that if you're looking around the NBA landscape and you're trying to get the best deal for Kawhi, once you decide that's the route you want to go, you need to get the best package before this guy. And if the Lakers are the team that gives you the best package at the time, that's the team you should send it to, just because, I mean, if you're going to maximize the value on the top five player, you have to do it. The issue with Kawhi, and makes it maybe kind of a moot point down the line, if Kawhi tells every other team, like, I'm not going to sign with you, it kind of submarines the market and kind of forces a way to the trade. I mean, maybe the Spurs could get like 50 cents on the dollar, but then you're looking at a situation that's an ideal. So it's interesting because the Spurs are a smart organization and they could take it one of two ways. I feel like they could easily be like, okay, we're going to get the most value in LA because that's where he wants to re-sign. Or they could just really play it the other way, and it's hard to tell at this point in the game. There's a lot of interesting pieces I'd be happy with the Lakers. I know some fans aren't, but you know, I'd be willing to go that route if that's what it takes.
Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we'll get into some of those pieces, because there's one narrative in specifically that has really kind of caught my ear, and I really disagree with how it's been covered. And we'll get to that here in a second. So one thing that I've heard a lot throughout this, since this entire thing started, and specifically regarding the Lakers, is that the Spurs will not entertain any trade that involves Lonzo Ball. And my thing is, if LeVar wasn't involved, I wouldn't blame them, seeing as Kawhi's uncle is giving them the problems that they have now, why sign up for another loud family member in LeVar in that way? But like in every sense of the basketball word, like Lonzo is a smart player. He's very good defensively. He's hugely unselfish. He is a facilitator first and foremost. Like he seems like a very good Spur. He seems like the kind of guy who would flourish in the Spurs system. He would have to learn to shoot a little bit better. But he just seems like the kind of guy who Pop would like to talk basketball with. But you do have that family dynamic. Do you lend any credence to the idea that they just reject any Lonzo Ball trade out of hand?
I'd rather have Lonzo Ball than Kyle Kuzma, which is where I kind of feel about it.
I know so would I.
Fans just really just they see the Lonzo Ball, they see the Ball last name, and they're like, oh my gosh, they're not going to do it. But Lonzo himself, I mean, he's a quiet guy, and yeah, LeVar Ball is kind of a headache, but I mean, he hasn't been a little bit, and to be the second pick in the draft, to have that talent, I mean, he just screams like being a Spurs player. I would love it. I don't think the Spurs would take too much, especially if they can a quieter position like them. They can handle LeVar Ball. I hope they can entertain him. I have my heart set on Brandon Ingram. I think he's going to be a great player. But if you can throw Lonzo in there as well, you pique my interest.
Right. That's the funny thing is that, like, when I hear some of these reports, I hear, like, okay, the Lakers could offer Brandon Ingram in this package and then simply add Lonzo to the package and the Spurs wouldn't want it. And I'm thinking, wait, what? Like, that's not how math works.
It's like, yeah, we're not going to take a guy who was consensus, like, a top three pick in last year's draft. Like, no, we're good. Like, we just don't want that player. I mean, I don't think that. I think that's stupid.
You alluded to Ingram already. So how about I'll throw a trade package together for you and you tell me if you'd be cool with it. I think for what the Lakers are hoping to do here, they need to be able to try to get rid of Deng's salary. I don't think the Spurs wind up taking it, so we would probably have to go to a third team. And frankly, if you try to prognosticate on what a three-team deal might sound like, that's a great way to sound like an idiot and a great way to waste 15 minutes of your life that you won't ever get back. But if we just keep this Lakers Spurs specific, I think if they offer Brandon Ingram number 25 and either Kuzma, Zubats, or Hart, one of those three guys, I think that gets it done. Would you be okay with that coming back to San Antonio?
If it's Kuzma, I'd bite the bullet and be like, okay, I think that's workable. With two good young guys, Kuzma has a cheap, affordable contract. The pick could be something. I'm not, like, stoked about it. I mean, there's some other packages around the league that I'd rather do. Mm-hmm. But that one's fine. It's not awful.
And that's the kind of deal that I think is made if Kawhi doesn't, as you put it, submarine his trade value, right? As soon as he submarines his trade value, I think both Lonzo and Ingram come off the table. If both of them are taken off of the table, do you think the Spurs just kind of hold on to Kawhi and hope they convince him with $219 million next year?
Yeah, they play it out, maybe wait to the deadline and see if there's some last hope for anything. Slightly optimistic that could happen. It's weird because a Spurs fan asked me today, they said, okay, who would you rather have on draft night? Would you rather have Kawhi Leonard or Luka Doncic? And I know the right answer is Kawhi Leonard, but my heart was really putting myself to Luka just because I'm a huge fan of his game. I think he's the best player in the class. And it's just telling me that as much as I think Kawhi's a great player, I'm also ready for the new era of Spurs basketball to just happen. And I want some new fresh blood on the Spurs, something just you have nothing to talk about. And I don't know. So I'm just kind of secretly hoping for a trade just to see, you know, some chaos happen tomorrow night. But we'll see. If it's the Lakers, I mean, it's going to suck because I grew up hating the Lakers. and it's going to suck if he's, like, doing well with them, especially with LeBron. But, you know, I mean, we got to think about the Spurs and the roster. And I don't really, irrespective to the team we're giving it to, we got to consider, like, what we need and what we need for the future.
Yeah, I think the draft is going to be really interesting to watch because, like, teams like the Clippers, the Lakers, Boston to a lesser extent, but teams that are going to be looking to trade for Kawhi, like, their assets become a lot less valuable once those draft pick become actual players. I've always thought that either Kawhi gets traded on draft night or he gets held on to until the trade deadline. I don't think he finishes the season with the Spurs. And if you're the Spurs, like if I were the Spurs, I think you have more leverage trying to move him now. Whereas if they go through this entire season, and I mean, just imagine if he continues to hold out, right? Like if he holds out past the draft or the regular season comes around and he just isn't playing basketball games, well, there goes any leverage that they could have ever hoped to have. And, you know, at that point, I guess you'd try to just convince him with all the money at the end of the year. But there are reports saying that he doesn't really care about the Supermax contract. What do you think? Do you think this plays out in the short term where he gets moved in by the time everybody's listening to this tonight's NBA draft? Or do you think they try to hold it out and extend this as long as they possibly can?
It seems like, according to reports, the Spurs are really hesitant to just go and trade him. They're, like, taking offers, but they haven't officially put him on the block. I'd be surprised if they make a trade tomorrow night or Thursday night for the draft. It seems like they're going to be very Spursy in their approach and have a sit-down meeting with him Tuesday and another meeting and just try to work this issue out, kind of like an old married couple. I'm like, okay, we don't have to get divorced. It's cool. We still have kids together. We have the 2014 championship. Remember all these good memories. You have all this money I'm going to give you. Like, it's fine. There's great tacos. You love Wingstop. Like, we can make this work. I think that's what the Spurs are going to do for as long as they can. And then once Kawhi's like, all right, nah, I'm like legit. I'm done.
L.A. tacos are better, but.
Oh, no. And he's like, okay, do you really want In-N-Out? Do you really want In-N-Out? Do you want to have some Whataburger? That's going to be the big question in the next Pop Kawhi meeting for sure. So it doesn't seem like the Spurs are one of the teams that are going to panic trade him just because they're like, or pull a Cleveland or pull a Chicago from last year and just trade their guy before assessing the market. But it could be, I mean, I don't know, maybe they get a great deal tomorrow. And that changes things. It's really hard to put a pulse on this.
I just picture Pop sitting there with like a Rolodex of pictures of like DeJounte Murray. Like, look, man, we're raising this young kid together. We're trying to build.
He can shoot from 12 feet now. Next year, maybe he'll shoot from 15 feet. LaMarcus Aldridge is happy to be here again. We have 36-year-old Tony Parker still doing nothing. It's great here, I promise. You know, we'll get LeBron and we'll just run it back.
It
just seems very hard for me to believe that it's going to end out okay.
Yeah, I grew up hating the Spurs because the Lakers and Spurs went at it as long as they did. They're one of the few teams really across the NBA that like feel worthy of Laker hatred, right? Like everybody.
I'm honored.
Everybody hates the Lakers, but like only the Spurs really. We saw you guys so much, and we it was always in the playoffs. It was always with high stakes. So like by the end of that, those three-peat era and early 2000s matchups and meetings that the two organizations had, it was like, yeah, okay, screw the Spurs forever. But still, there's an amount of respect that comes out of a rivalry like that. And you know, for me as a Laker fan, yes, I'm enjoying the fact that the Lakers might walk out of this with a really good player in Kawhi Leonard, but having been in your situation before with Kobe, like this is not something I would wish on very many people. I want to really thank you for hopping on with us the way that you did on short notice, the way that you did. I'm pulling for like a decent. I want the Lakers and Spurs to be good at the same time again together. Just like
exactly what I was going to say. I was like, as much as it pains me to say, I want the Spurs to be good. And I want the Lakers to be simultaneously good and have that again. And if the Kawhi's on the Spurs for that, we're still good. It's cool.
Do you think fans really rip him a new one if he enters or if he goes and plays in San Antonio next year as a Laker?
They are definitely doing it already. And they are going to absolutely crush him. I am not going to be one of those people. I love Kawhi and I love what he's done for the future for the Spurs. And I'm just going to be thankful for all he's done. So it kind of sounds lame, and I feel old for saying that. But, you know, I can't hate the guy for wanting to do something best with his life. So it's unfortunate. I'd rather him stay. But if we can get Doncic, or if we can get a number 2 pick, or if we can get Ingram, or maybe even Jaylen Brown, I'm not that mad about it.
Yeah, that's a great.
If you don't, then I'm going to be really mad about it.
that's a great way to look at it. Thank you very much for hopping on. That was Keith Ramirez of News for San Antonio and the Spurs Roundtable. Make sure there are people out there who cover teams in ways that I really enjoy the coverage, and Keesem is one of them in regards to the Spurs. So thanks for hopping on, Keesem. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you.